Thank you very much, Miriam, and thank you to everyone for coming to this panel. What I want to talk about is absolutely work in progress, and it's something that I'm and other people I'm working with on this are actively looking for feedback on. So in a way, what I am going to present is going to be controversial, provocative, and represent work in progress, and I want your comments and opinions. It stems from a recognition that, put simply, humanitarian innovation throws up significant ethical issues. And yet, on the other hand, we lack recognised principles or standards for thinking through those ethical problems and applying them to this emerging area of humanitarian innovation. And that is potentially very problematic. It's potentially very problematic for affected communities, and it's potentially very problematic for the reputation of the entire humanitarian endeavour and the idea of humanitarian innovation. It would just take one disastrous ethical problem that came from a partnership or a new technology, and suddenly the endeavour of humanitarian innovation is irreparably compromised. And the nearest thing I think we've had to a system-wide set of principles has been something the UN Innovation Network conceived, which was Principles on Humanitarian Innovation. But most of those principles so far have been about innovation management rather than subjected to ethical scrutiny or really principles for ethical innovation. So in response to that, and as part of the World Humanitarian Summit thematic strand on transformation through innovation, we've tried to develop a first draft, a working document, a sort of living document that could think about principles for ethical humanitarian innovation. And to do that, we began with by looking at what already exists. We brought together a workshop in Oxford with a range of international organisations, experts from medical ethics, business ethics, humanitarian practice, humanitarian ethics, to try to draft a set of principles that will be, if you like, World Humanitarian Summit Principles for Ethical Humanitarian Innovation. And what I'm going to present today is a little bit of the process behind that and the principles themselves in draft form in order to get your feedback. So I'll say something about the background, the methodology we've used for the principles, the draft principles themselves, and I'm going to highlight as I go through them some of the particular questions and challenges we've got that we're grappling with in areas where we're already getting feedback, so as not to reiterate conversations we've already had. Simply put, this is an area that combines three concepts, all of which are challenging definitionally, but just for the purposes of the conversation. Humanitarianism really is about assisting vulnerable populations in conflict and crisis. Ethics relates to moral principles that should govern behaviour, and innovation can be thought of as a process of adaptation to context. It's worth noting we could have endless debates around those definitions, but those are sort of working assumptions at the starting point. Why do we need ethics and principles in this sector? Well, I think there are a series of obvious reasons. The first is that it involves the entry of new products and new processes, some of which may be highly technical, technological, and introduce a set of challenges. Secondly, we've got the entry of non-humanitarian actors that come from innovation, including businesses and the military. We also, in going through the innovation cycle, have a potential role for research and even experimentation. And we want to avoid a scenario in which crisis-affected communities become guinea pigs for the development of technologies and ideas. There are also challenges of representation and participation. Whose ideas should count? On what basis? Whose problems are we talking about? Whose solutions are we talking about? And indeed, in innovation, a lot of innovation begins with ideas that may ultimately be someone else's. Maybe the ideas of affected communities that their resilience strategies are based upon. And so there are real challenges of intellectual property and the equitable sharing of benefits. And just to give you a brief example of where something like this arises, there was a partnership that was very short-lived that took place at the Dadaab refugee camps, where the San Francisco-based company Samasource, that does data entry, micro work, increased contracts with companies in Silicon Valley like LinkedIn, Facebook, and outsources that to impoverished communities around the world to provide micro work, tried to pilot that for refugee communities. And in a way, it was a really great, inspiring idea to do it in the Dadaab refugee camps with CARE International. The pilot broke down and was abandoned after a certain period. And it was in part because refugees complained of being paid at a much lower level and complained of exploitation. Now, part of the reason for that doesn't reside with the company. It resides with the regulatory framework of Kenya that meant they couldn't be paid as refugees on the same level as nationals. But it was an example of a partnership and an area where really ethical guidance would have been helpful and would be helpful to all of the actors involved. And I don't want this to seem a sort of naysaying, sceptical position within the innovation debate. I think my starting point is innovation is important, has positive ethical implications. We shouldn't set up barriers and obstacles to it, but equally we need to consider that there are ethical implications. So what's the methodology we've developed? Well, we started with, at stage one, a set of draft principles based on our experiences. We've secondly tried to refine those principles based on a process of ethical reasoning, drawing upon people, academics who know about medical ethics, business ethics, humanitarian ethics, and engage practitioners with that expertise to see what comes out. And thirdly, to develop a living document. And in a way, we're at the third stage. What I've just distributed to you is the first draft of that living document. What we're looking for is feedback before that would be unveiled at the World Humanitarian Summit. The idea is not that that would become fixed, static, or rigid. It's taken literally thousands of years for the Hippocratic Oath as the sort of guiding principles of the medical sector to be fully interpreted, developed in all its implications. So we're looking at this as an organic, living document that could adapt through dialogue, learning, and experience over time. The main starting point for this was the workshop in Oxford, which engaged practitioners and academics, and out of this we have the